Hello, and welcome to the Emmanuel Missionary Baptist Church podcast. Emmanuel Missionary Baptist Church is located in the center of Warren, Michigan, and has been serving the community for over 60 years. It is led by Pastor Tracy Harold and Assistant Pastor Stephen Clark. Now let's take a listen to today's sermon by Pastor Tracy Harold.
Before we dig into the sermon, I want to tell you a story. You never know what God sometimes will do with a track, you know, passing out tracks or passing out. We passed out a lot of our church brochures this summer, and as part of that, on Wednesday nights, and we passed out several thousand of them. Thursday night, I believe it was Thursday night or Friday night, I was actually at the church, and I was working on some of the college things I've been going through, and tests and different things, and the church phone rang. I answered it, of course, and to be quite honest, having the pastor friends that I have, I thought it was one of my ugly pastor friends playing a joke on me. So I was like, yeah, whatever. And I'm keep waiting for Brother Andy to snicker, but he never snickered and never laughed. Well, come to find out, it ended up being a young man by the name of Carlos, who was somewhere around 19 Mile in DeQuinder. And there was a brochure or a tract from our church that was next to a cash register. I don't know what member of ours put that there, but again, thank you for doing that. And so he started asking me questions. He goes, "I have some questions for you." And he actually was rather kind of irate for a few minutes. And he was trying to debate, if you will, as far as that good works. He believed that good works were part of your salvation. And so for about the next 45 minutes, 30 to 45 minutes, we were in a interesting dialogue of Scripture. And it was apparent that he had a very twisted view of Scripture as far as what salvation was. And I say all that for this reason. Be praying for Carlos, because I was able to share the gospel with him. He said, "Well, what do you believe?" And I told him. And of course, he began to tell me. I said, "Well, what denomination or religion are you, sir?" And he shared it with me. And then he said, and I really appreciate it, he found out that I was the pastor of the church. And man, he said, "Pastor of a church?" I said, "Yes, sir." He said, "Well, that is awesome. That's commendable." And he said, "I don't want to take your time up." I said, "Well," I said, I'll be gone, next couple of weeks or so. I said, "But I would love to talk to you about that again and really, really talk about what the Bible's thoughts are regarding salvation." And so he gave me a cell phone number. And you be praying for Carlos that God will allow us to be able to lead him to Christ. Will you do that? And you say, "Well, preacher, well, why would you think it was your pastor friends?" Because they're retarded. I mean, they just are. Excuse me, I'm sorry if that's the only word I know to describe them. And that's not a mental thing. That's just, they're just absolutely mentally challenged. And so you pray for Brother Andy and Brother Fain. And because I truly thought it indeed was them. Brother Daugherty's called my house before and disguised his voice, and we were in. We hadn't hired a youth pastor yet, and he disguised his voice like the craziest person you ever heard in your life, and said, "I heard you need a youth pastor, and I'm interested. Call me at 1-800-something-something-something." And I was like, "Andy Daugherty." So if you think he's a serious man, very intelligent, dumb as a box of rocks, I'm telling you, absolutely dumb as. That's not on the internet streaming right now, is it? Are you serious? The cue is open your Bibles. You guys missed the cue this morning. Oh, man. I did not know that was on the internet. Oh, my word. John chapter 20. Open your Bibles, please. To the book of John chapter 20. You have to understand, I'm going to be with Brother Andy, this week and this next week, and I'll be in Kentucky preaching revival, but starting that, literally a week from this Tuesday, so 2 days from now, a week from then, Brother Andy and myself and Brother Adrian will be in Colorado elk hunting, and Brother Andy Daugherty can, he's not only dumb as a box of rocks, but he's mean as a green snake, and he will tear me limb from limb. If he watches this sermon. Just want to be a blessing to you, Brother Daugherty. So if you're watching this, I love you. And I, Brother Stephen Clark was the one that told me that story. So, you know, please, you know, keep that in mind. All right, let's dig into this passage of Scripture, actually John chapter 21. I want to kind of take a different direction this morning and hope to be of encouragement to you, but also hope to really brag on our Lord, brag on the Lord Jesus Christ. I'm thankful we serve a God that forgives, amen? You didn't hear me. I'm thankful we serve a God that forgives. But ladies and gentlemen, we also serve a God, and I'm grateful for this as a believer in Jesus. I'm grateful to have a God that not only forgives us, and we shout glory to the doctrine of forgiveness, but I'm also grateful to have a God that restores His children. Amen? Have you ever blown it? Have you ever found yourself away from God and you can't believe how far you've gotten away from Him? Don't raise your hand. You don't even have to amen that. But have you ever found yourself away from a God that you love and you care about, and a God that changed your life, maybe like He did mine at the age of 16 years of age, and maybe God changed your life when you were a child through salvation, or maybe the Lord changed your life when you were a teenager or an adult, young adult, or maybe even an older adult, a God that forgave you of all your sins, a God that cleansed you by the shed blood of His Son through the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ, that God that we serve not only forgives us when we blow it, and we blow it big time. He is a God that literally is one prayer away, and He literally is just moments away from not only cleansing you and bringing you back into fellowship with Him, but bringing you back in a restoring aspect, so to make your life profitable again for His honor and glory. When you look in the book of John chapter 21, we're going to pick up our story here now. A lot has transpired. The Lord Jesus Christ has died on the cross of Calvary. He has been buried. He has risen again. He has appeared already on another occurrence with His disciples after He had resurrected. But I want us to back up in our minds, and for those of you that may understand a little bit about this, the crucifixion story, the Lord Jesus had disciples, and He actually had 12 apostles. One of them was a man by the name of Judas, who indeed had sold Christ out, and you know that story perhaps. But there was another one of the Lord's disciples by the name of Peter, one of His apostles, who really got his eyes off of Christ, and in so much that even denied even knowing Jesus Christ, even knowing the man. And you remember the story? How many of you remember that story? All right? You remember the story? You remember how He was warming His hands by a fire, and a young damsel came to Him, and she starts conversing with this Peter, and then she thinks, she's like, wait a minute, you're one of His followers, you're one of His disciples. And Peter cursed and said, I do not even know the man. And we know the story, and you perhaps have read it in the earlier chapters of John and other Gospels, that the Bible says Peter went out and wept bitterly. Why did he weep bitterly? Because Jesus Christ, before He died on the cross, He told Peter that He was going to deny the Lord. He said, Peter, before the rooster crows, before the cock or the rooster crows, He says, you're going to deny me. And Peter says, God, that will never happen. All right, just stay with me. God, I'll never do that. God, I will die for you. I don't know about the rest of these guys, but God, I'll go with you to death. There's no way. And I can say, can you hear Peter saying this? Jesus, there's no way I'll ever do that. What did He do? He did it. Where are you at this morning? Do you find yourself in a place in your life that you said would never happen? Do you find yourself at a point in your life spiritually as a believer in Jesus? At a point in your life that nobody has to tell you you're away from God. You feel it deep inside the crevices of your soul. And you know you're away from the Lord Jesus. But here's what the devil whispers. Stay with me, please. What the devil whispers in our ears is this. You'll never be effective for Jesus again. you might as well continue on in your backslidden state, because God will never use you like he used to. I'm going to show you on the authority of the Bible, Satan's a liar. And our God is a God, I don't care what you have done, our God is a God, first to the believer, if you know Christ as Savior, who is a God that restores his children when they ask. John chapter 21, please stand in honor and reverence to the reading of God's holy word. Y'all all right this morning? Man, there's a good crowd here today. There's at least 7,500. If I was counting, I think there'd be about 7,500. Now, they may come up with a different number, but if I was counting, there may be 10,000 people here. I'm telling you. I'm just telling. You're here for the ice cream. I know you are. Verse 1, after these things, that encompasses a lot. It encompasses the death, the burial, the resurrection of Jesus the Lord. It encompasses the mock trial. It encompasses Jesus being beat with a cat of nine tails. It encompasses Jesus Christ, as I've said, dying on the cross, being buried, rising again. So that after these things, that's what it's talking about. Okay, so keep that in your mind as we read the rest of these verses. Jesus showed himself again. Oh, did I tell you he rose again? Did I tell you that the grave couldn't hold him? Amen. The grave couldn't hold our Lord because he's God, and the Bible tells us he literally defeated death, hell, and the grave through his death, burial, and resurrection. So just kind of keep that in mind. Just kind of put that little sidebar in the back, just kind of on the side of your mind there. So Jesus showed himself again to the disciples at the Sea of Tiberias, and on this wise showed himself. There were together Simon Peter and Thomas called Didymus and Nathanael of Cana in Galilee and the sons of Zebedee and two other of his disciples. Simon Peter saith unto them, I go a fishing. They say unto him, we also go with thee. Also, let me interject the thought here. At this point in Peter's life, it's fair to say that Peter's pretty backslidden. All right, he is pretty backslidden away from Jesus. Now, I know you don't hear that term necessarily a lot anymore, especially in churches today, but it's still a biblical principle that believers in Jesus can backslide away from Jesus. My pastor used to say, how do you know if you're backslidden? The question is this, if you can ask yourself the question, has there ever been a point in my life that I was closer to Jesus than I am right now? I could be backslidden. You could be backslidden. So, the Bible goes on, verse 3, Simon Peter said to them, I go a fish, and they say unto him, look at the context, we also go with thee. That's a sad thing, and that's a sad often reality of getting backslidden away from Christ. You take other people with you. Can I get a witness this morning? You affect other people, and Peter's denial, and Peter's rebellion, and Peter's refusal to get his life right with Christ is affecting other people around him. And that's a sad but true reality often of our spiritual conditions or lack thereof. So the Bible goes on. They went forth, verse 3, and entered into a ship immediately. And that night they caught nothing. That's significant. But when the morning was now come, Jesus, who is it? It's Jesus, right? The Bible says Jesus stood on the shore, but the disciples knew not that it was Jesus. Then Jesus saith unto them, children, have ye any meat? They answered him, no. And he said unto them, cast the net on the right side of the ship, and ye shall find. They cast therefore, and now they were not able to draw it for the multitude of fishes. Therefore that disciple whom Jesus loved, that's John the apostle by the way, saith unto Peter, it is the Lord. Now when Simon Peter heard that it was the Lord, he girded his fisher's coat unto him, for he was naked, and did cast himself into the sea. And the other disciple came in a little ship, for they were not far from land, but as it were 200 cubits, dragging the net with fishes. As soon then as they were come to land, they saw a fire of coals there, and fish laid thereon, and bread. Jesus saith unto them, bring of the fish which ye have now caught. Simon Peter went up and drew the net to the land, full of great fishes, 153, and for all there were so many, yet was not the net broken. Jesus saith unto them, Peter's part of this group, Jesus saith unto them, come and dine. Our Father, Lord Jesus, we love you. God, we're grateful for who you are. We're thankful, Father, for indeed your Holy Spirit. We're thankful, Father, for your word. And God, I'm thankful even for the life of Peter, because often I find myself, Lord, perhaps being like Peter. Lord, just kind of denying myself that it could ever happen. But Lord Jesus, thank you for your grace. Thank you for your mercy, for your forgiveness. But God, thank you for your restoring grace in our lives. Speak, Father, as only you can. And God, my prayer today is that for every single believer in this room that knows you as a born-again, in born-again salvation, that God, that you'll bring us closer to you. And Father, I pray your blessings on the reading of your word in Jesus' name. And amen. Thank you. You may be seated. It's fair to say that Peter had blown it. It's fair to say that Peter had gotten to the point in his life that he might as well go back to his old life. I mean, after all, he has dishonored his Lord. He had made choices and made decisions and was living a life that really wasn't how he used to live. Where are you at today? Where is your life with Jesus this morning? Are you living like the old, inject your name, before Christ? Are you living as a fully devoted follower of Jesus Christ, whose number one goal and ambition is to honor the Savior? Stay away, everybody, look up here for a minute. Whose number one goal and ambition is to honor the Savior that changed your life? Oh, do I need to remind you that if you're saved, God changed your life? God did something for you that you couldn't do for yourself. Can I get a witness in this room this morning? He forgave you of all your sins. He cleansed you from, the Bible declares, he cleansed you from what the Word of God describes, all unrighteousness. That's what his blood cleansed you of. He put your feet on a rock, amen? He pulled you up out of the miry clay. He established your goings. The Bible says he put, in salvation, he put a new song in you. When the Bible talks about a new song, it literally means a song that was never there before. It's as if the Lord Jesus saves you and then says, hey, sing about it. Let a lost and dying world know that it is indeed amazing grace, how sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. I once was lost, but now I'm found. Was blind, but now I see. Oh, sweet friend, Jesus did that for you. Every born-again believer in this room, I hope you understand that we are forever indebted to his grace and mercy in our lives. We are forever indebted to give him glory and honor. And we are forever indebted to stay submitted. Hear me, to stay submitted to the lordship of Jesus Christ over our life. May I remind you that you are not your own anymore. Boy, it's quiet in here, church. You're not your own anymore. You've been bought with a price. And because you've been bought with a price, question for you. What was that price? Anybody, what was the price? It was the blood of Jesus, right? It was the blood of God's Son. May I remind you that what cost God to redeem, listen, it cost God more to redeem your wretched soul from hell than it cost him to speak the world into existence. It cost him the death of his Son. And he did that for you. We see in this passage of Scripture before us, as you can understand the context of it, Peter has blown it. Peter has denied his Lord. He's even cursed. Brother Andy and I were talking about this, the earlier passage where Peter denies the Lord. And Brother Andy, being the smart man that he is, just really ugly. But being, don't you tell him I said that. You say, preacher, you're on the World Wide Web. Redneck Brother Darty don't even know how to turn on a computer. So, but he might have it on his telephone. All right, his cell phone. Did I say telephone? Cell phone. You awake, Abel? All right, we're good. Brother Andy even said, he said, Brother Tracy, he said, when Peter denied the Lord, he said it was a progression. He said it even got to the point where Peter literally denied with an oath, almost as if he swore to God that he didn't know this man. Wow, really? Is it fair to say that sin will take you farther than you ever dreamed? Is it fair to say that sin will cost you more than you ever thought you would have to pay? Y'all with me? Is it fair to say that it will keep you longer than you ever thought you would stay in it? Most definitely. We see that in the life of Peter. But here's the good news. That's all the bad news. But here's the good news. Failure doesn't have to be final. You didn't hear me. If you're backslidden this morning, you're backslidden, you watch them by the internet. If you're backslidden today, you don't have to stay there. Get up and go back to Jesus. Call upon the name of Jesus. Say, preach, I'll be honest, I don't have the strength to get up. No, but He does. He has the strength to lift you up if you'll call upon Him. You say, preacher, you don't understand how horrible I feel. Good. You say, preacher, you just stunned me. You don't understand how horrible I feel because I've drifted away from Jesus. You ought to feel bad. You've dishonored Jesus Christ. Do you think Peter felt bad? You better believe he did. You see, sometimes we talk about feelings and we think that feelings are always bad things. No, feelings aren't bad things. God's made us emotional creatures. And when our life with Jesus isn't what it needs to be, it absolutely will affect even our emotions. You ever met people that were backslidden, that were angry? The only reason they're angry is because they weren't right with God. You ever met people who absolutely were critical? Believers in Jesus who were wayward from Christ and they become critical. Why were they critical? It wasn't because they were critical at other believers in Jesus. They were critical, and they may have showed up like that, but that's just a symptom. You in the medical field, you understand. You don't just always, and any doctor that their whole goal is just to treat symptoms really needs the you don't just always just treat symptoms. You got to get to the root of it. Amen. You got to get to what's causing the symptoms. And often when people are angry, believers in Jesus get angry and they're bitter and they're hateful and they're mean-spirited. That's just a symptom of your root problem is you're away from God. So Peter, he had gotten that way. And we see this in his life in the earlier chapters. He cursed and said he didn't even know Jesus. And now he showed up with the other disciples and he says, hey boys, I'm going fishing. Anybody want to go with me? Hey, we might as well go with you. As far as they were concerned, Jesus was dead and gone, and he is no more than, I mean, you know, we dedicated our life to him for 3 years, and he's gone now. We're left alone. We're on our own. But you see, here's the problem. Peter's backslidden condition, stay with me, his backsliding away from God had clouded his judgment. And that's what it'll do to you. Backsliding away from Jesus will cloud your judgment. You won't focus clearly. But the good news is, the last verse that we read, Jesus is on the shore and he tells these boys to come and dine. As we pick up the dialogue now with Peter and our Lord, there are several things that I want to call your attention to this morning. Now, Peter was not always an individual that was on the mountaintop with God. He'd gotten away from the Lord. But however, God's going to restore him. And we even see in the book of Acts that God is going to allow Peter to preach on the day of Pentecost. And nearly 3,000 souls get saved, they get born again. Does that not show you that God can restore? He's also a man, as we've been reading through the book of Acts, who's going to witness God supernaturally pour out his salvation on Gentiles. And Peter's going to witness that God, remember the verse that we read a couple weeks ago? That God is, Peter said, I'm of a truth, God is no respecter of persons. He'll save a Jew, but he'll save a Gentile. He'll save a Samaritan, as we read in Acts. Peter says that. God restores him. The good news is failure doesn't have to be final, but there's some things you have to understand. Number one, to understand that failure doesn't have to be final, first and foremost, you absolutely have to believe that Jesus is alive from the dead. They say, preacher, that's kind of silly to say that because this is a Baptist church. We know that and we understand that. Do you really? If you're backslidden, sweet friend, maybe it's just because you've gotten your eyes off of Jesus And you fail to understand that at 11:58 on a Sunday morning, Jesus is alive. He's at the right hand of God the Father. And sweet friend, please hear my heart. He sees everything that we do. I promise you, you didn't hear that statement. He sees everything that we do. Is it fair to say that Peter got in that boat that day thinking that Jesus was done, and he was done following Jesus? But is it a fair assumption to observe that Peter was shocked when Jesus showed up where he was? See, that's often what we can do as believers in Christ. We can get our eyes off of Jesus, and we can backslide away from Jesus, never thinking that Jesus will show up in the midst of our backsliding. But he does. You know why he does? Because he loves you more than your sin. Hallelujah for that. I had a relative of mine say one day, I'll refrain from their name, but they said to me one day, they said, "Oh, Tracy, I'm just backslidden." And they'd been living, got their eyes off of Jesus, and man, their life was really just a mess, sinful. And I looked at him and I said, "You know what?" I said, "You're in a dangerous situation." Stunned him. He said, "What do you mean?" I said, "Let me tell you what I mean." I said, "You just said to me, you're just backslidden. It's no big deal." I said, "It's a dangerous, dangerous position to be in when you know you're backslidden away from God and you refuse to repent and get right with him." May I remind you, God's a holy God. He's a holy and just God. Yes, he's long-suffering. But ladies and gentlemen, I wouldn't want to test how long his long-suffering is. You have to believe that Jesus is alive from the dead. The Bible tells us as you go through this story, let's just kind of keep going through it. Look at verse 12. Jesus saith unto them, "Come and dine." None of the disciples, verse 12, durst ask him, "Who art thou?" By the way, they already, at this point in their life, they knew who they were in the presence of. They knew they were in the presence. I love the song. Cheryl, do you sing this song? "In the presence of Jehovah." In the presence of Jehovah, God Almighty, Prince of Peace, hearts are mended. I tell you what, ladies and gentlemen, in the presence of Jehovah, your life has changed forever. Peter didn't recognize who it was on the land. He heard his voice. Now let's walk in this text for a moment. So Jesus shows up in the midst of their backsliding. They're backsliding. He's on the shore. These guys are professional fishermen. Stay with me. They're professional fishermen, and they're fishing, and they fished all night, and they haven't caught anything. Kind of sounds like me when I go fishing, all right? I buy the latest and greatest, and I even believe the guy in the bait store when he says you're catching them on purple. So I buy $27 worth of purple things. I'll put three of them on at a time. Funniest person I've ever seen fishing is Major Pounders. How many of you know Major Pounders? We went fishing. Me and Brother Tommy went fishing one time. Man, he did it, man. It took him 10 minutes to put all this together. And he put a bottom bouncer on. And, man, he put this fancy-dancy crawler harness thing and a big old night crawler. Looked like a snake, you know. Put that on there. And getting ready first cast. And we're going to catch him, right? He's getting ready for that first cast. And he went to cast. And apparently he didn't open the bail. And it went gone forever, you know. But these guys are professional fishermen, and they hear from the shore, they see a guy on the shore. They don't recognize it's Jesus, but there's a guy on the shore who says, "Hey, cast your nets on the other side. Hey boys, have you caught anything?" "No, we haven't caught anything." And by the way, you don't ever want to ask a fisherman that, if he hasn't caught anything, right? That's the worst thing you can do. Now, Brother Tommy has since taught me better. If somebody asks you if you've caught, if they say, "Have you caught anything?" And now if you're fishing for walleye and you haven't caught anything, but if you've caught one bluegill, Brother Tommy said, you've technically caught something. So if they ask you if you've caught anything, "Oh yeah, we've caught something." You haven't lied, okay?
But I think they know what it means. So the Lord says, hey, have you caught anything? No. So now why would Jesus ask that? Because you do know Jesus, let me get down here. Because I almost did a cartwheel, but I thank the Lord God intervened in that thought. But anyway, so Jesus says, have you caught anything? Why would Jesus ask that? Maybe he's asking it for this. They're backsliding away from God. In their back, you think it was the Lord saying, where you're at right now, have you found what you're looking for? Did you find what you left me to find? Backslider, have you caught any fish? Have you caught any fish? Have you found in your life right now what you had to leave Jesus to find? He brought them face to face with reality. Their answer was no. I promise you on the authority of God's Bible, if you truly know Christ as your Savior and you're a born-again believer in Jesus, your life emotionally, and I could go down the list, will haunt you if you get your eyes off of Jesus Christ and get backslidden. You will not, you listen, you won't find what you think you're looking for. Man, I've never seen that in that passage, Brother Stephen. Just saw that. Back up, because this really, really, really unfolds. Cast your net, verse 6. Man, I'm telling you, there's a sermon in this. I've never seen this. Thank God. I'm telling you. Look at verse 6. He said, preach, you've preached to it 3 times. I know, but that's what's so awesome about God's Word. It's a living book. Amen? College student, you still awake? Time for ice cream? Look at verse 6. And he said unto them, by the way, God will still speak to you when you're backslidden. It's because he loves you. Let me also interject a bold statement here. It's nobody's fault but your own that you're backslidden. You say, preacher, that's kind of a mean statement. No, it's not. You're not going to stand. Listen, at the judgment seat of Jesus, you're not going to stand before me. You're not going to stand before your brother or your sister in Christ. You're not going to stand before your husband or wife. You're going to stand before God. All right? And he said unto them, verse 6, cast the net on the right side of the ship, and ye shall find. Now, let's flesh this out. Stay with me on this. They're fishermen. This guy's on the shore. Can you imagine what must have went through their mind? I mean, these are normal. Don't over-spiritualize people in the Bible. They're normal people. All right? They're normal people like you and I. They had, sometimes they lacked faith like maybe we do. And this guy on the shore is telling these fishermen in a boat how to fish. Do you think it's fair to say that Jesus Christ knew what they were really looking for? So as we fast forward, not to be redundant, but as we fast forward through this, he says, cast your nets on the other side. So what do? Might as well do it, right? It'd be like, hey, catch anything? No. What color crawler harness you been using? What color bead? I've been using red, or maybe been using purple. Purple's a good one if you're on Lake Erie, by the way. Hey, you might want to switch to chartreuse. Well, what do we got to lose? You switch to chartreuse, and then all of a sudden you start hammering them. You say, preacher, what's the point? Jesus says, cast your net on the other side, but don't miss this. Don't miss it. Look at the phrase. Verse 6, cast the net on the right side of the ship and ye shall find. What were they looking for? You think they were really truly looking for fish? Yes, we know as far as what they were doing, as far as an occupation, they've gone back to. But I don't really think they were looking for fish necessarily. I think they were looking for contentment and they couldn't find it apart from Jesus Christ. And my brother or my sister, you will not be content unless you serve your Lord. Unless you truly serve Him. Matter of fact, I'd venture to say, you'll be miserable. You say, preacher, why would you say that? All right, I'm going to be vulnerable, allow myself to be vulnerable for a moment. I've been backslidden before. And my life was miserable. Just for the record. Verse 7. So they cast their net, verse 6. Cast therefore, and now they were not able to draw it for the multitude of fishes. Interesting concept, church. Man, I got to interject it. Interesting concept. They listened to what Jesus said, even though it was from the shore. They listened to what Jesus said. They did what Jesus said. They were overwhelmed with the results. Really? You mean to tell me that if we listen to what Jesus says, we obey what Jesus says, and we do what He says, you mean to tell me our lives will be blessed and, if you will, blown away by the result of it? Y'all all right? Therefore, look at verse 7. I love this passage. That disciple whom Jesus loved saith unto Peter, Hey Pete, this ain't normal. What's not normal? Pete, I've been fishing with you a lot. We never caught like this, bro. Peter, we can't drag them in. Oh, Peter, stay with me. Hey, Pete, looking at the results, knowing what we're in, that dude's Jesus. I'm not being irreverent. I just want you to hear my heart. God, even in the midst, please hear me. God, even in the midst of your backsliding away from Him, still loves you. And in His grace and mercy, He sometimes, even in the midst of your backsliding, He sometimes will do things that will not only blow you away, but will cause you to stop and focus and maybe look around as John the Apostle. When the Bible says the disciple whom Jesus loved was John the Apostle. And John the Apostle, you just stop and look and say, you know what? God, I'm so far away from you. But Lord Jesus, it amazes me that You saved my child, even though I'm backslidden from You. God, it amazes me that, Lord God, You're still working in my life, even though I'm away from You. So John says, hey, Peter, it's the Lord. Notice what Peter did. What do you do when you're confronted with truth? What do you do when you're confronted with truth? Do you harden your heart to it? Do you remain unteachable? Do you allow your pride to keep you? Listen. Do you allow your pride to keep you from humbly bowing before your God? I've heard people for years make stupid statements, and here's one of the stupidest statements I've ever heard in my life. They'll say something like this, preacher, pray that God humbles me
Are you kidding me? God may break your leg. When the Bible talks about humble, being humble, that literally is a picture word. It means bended knee. It is a voluntary, you didn't think I could get back up, did you? It's that button. I pushed that button and it just shot me right up. When the Bible talks about humbling ourselves before God, it is a voluntary, yes, act of worship, if you will, of bowing before our Lord. I'm not going to pray God humbles you because God may have to break your leg to humble you. My sweet friend, my encouragement to you is, humble yourself. Is it fair to say that Peter, look at the text. My goodness, there's so much in this text. Verse 7. Therefore that disciple whom Jesus loved saith unto him. By the way, sometimes God will use your friends to get your attention. Sometimes God will use your friends to tell you not what you want to hear, but what you need to hear. And oh, by the way, they do it because they love you. Is it just me? But do you think it's ironic that the Bible says that disciple whom Jesus loved saith? You say, preacher, what's your point? My point is this. Sometimes God will use people in your life. Man, I'm telling you, it's a good word. Sometimes God will bring people in your life that love and care about you, and they will say things to you that will make you mad as a wet hen in the rain. Down home. Chickens, hens, they get fired up when they get their hair wet. Feathers wet, excuse me. That didn't come out right. But John says, Peter, that's the Lord, man. And look what Peter did. When Simon Peter heard that it was the Lord, he girded his fisher's coat in him, for he was naked, and then cast himself into the sea. And the other disciples came in a little ship, for they were not far from land. They're dragging the net with them. As soon as then as they were come to land, they saw a fire of coals there and fish laid thereon. By the way, the Bible tells us that they catch 153, great fish. They're typical fishermen. Verse 12, Jesus saith unto them. There's so much sermon in this. One of the things the devil will often do is he'll tell you you'll never be back in fellowship with God. But that's not what my Bible just shows me in verse 12. Jesus didn't isolate Peter. He said, come and dine. Backslider, come and dine today. Jesus is on the shore. He's cooking fish for him. And Jesus said to them, he's saying to all of them, come and dine. He didn't say everybody but Peter, because you're hard-headed and you refuse to listen to me. You refuse to repent. You refuse to bow humbly before me. Stay with me. Man, please stay with me. If you're staying with me, say, I'm staying with you, preacher. All right, that's four of you. What do you think Peter felt when he heard these words from Jesus? Come and dine, Peter. Last time he saw his Lord, he was denying him. Last time he saw his Lord, he was cussing and swearing. I do not know him. Last time he saw his Lord, as he looks, and Jesus turns and looks on him, Peter hears a rooster crow, and the Bible says he goes out and he weeps bitterly. But now Jesus is on the shore, and he hears the, they didn't recognize, but now all of a sudden they hear him, and all of a sudden they hear, and Peter, stay with me, please. Peter hears perhaps some of the sweetest words he has heard in weeks. Peter, come and dine. What's that a picture of? Brother Tommy, that's a picture of fellowship. It's more than eating fish on hot coals. It's a picture of fellowship. One of the saddest things about being backslidden, it means you're out of fellowship with God. And Jesus says, Peter, can you see old Peter? He's soaking wet, man. I can see his other disciples saying, you're crazy, dude. Why'd you jump in the water? Why'd you jump out of the boat? Peter maybe doesn't say a word, but inside his heart, he's thinking, you have no idea. Maybe Peter thinks inside of his heart and his mind, you have no idea, because I never thought that I'd hear Jesus speak to me again. Maybe Peter's thinking that. See, that's what sin does to you, though. Sin absolutely clouds your judgment. It absolutely clouds your view. It absolutely clouds your understanding of an almighty God that you have. Man, I wish I had 4 hours to preach this. I only have 3.5 left, so just kidding. Look at verse 13. Verse 12, none of the disciples durst ask him, who art thou? Knowing that it was the Lord. Jesus then, verse 13, then cometh and taketh bread and giveth them, and fish likewise. Are you kidding me? Did you see this? Peter's been, what's the song, Brother Stephen? I've wandered far away from God. Now I'm coming home. The paths of sin, too long I've trod. Lord, I'm coming home. So Peter comes on the seashore. He hears the phrase, Peter, come and dine. And the Bible says, and I can see my Lord doing this, the Bible says that our Lord, right in the text, he hands them bread and fish. Is it fair to say that Jesus has showed up here today? Not because of me. Is it fair to say that Jesus Christ may have whispered in your ear, come and dine, come back to me? I said earlier in his sermon, as my pastor used to say, you know you're backslidden if there's been a place in your life, there's been a point in your life that you were closer to God than you are right now. You may be backslidden away from him. Has God used a miracle? There's so many things in this. I'm telling you, I mean this. I'm just overwhelmed with this. Because so many different thoughts are coming to my mind. I love when God arrests me like that. God uses a supernatural miracle. 153 big fish he throws in a net to get their attention. Maybe God has overwhelmed you lately, backsliding, in your backsliding condition with a miracle. But that still hasn't gotten your attention. Maybe God has used a friend in your life, like John the Apostle, the disciple whom Jesus loved, to try to get you back to God. That really hasn't gotten your attention. Maybe Jesus is trying to bring you back in fellowship with him and feeding you. And by the way, that was more than a meal. That was more than bread and fish, young people. That was a phenomenal spiritual application that Jesus, I think, was using. Yes, it was a physical meal. Yes, they would have eaten. But Peter was about to hear Jesus ask a question. You can read it later on. We don't have time. But Peter was about to hear Jesus ask a very simple question, and here's what the question was. Peter, lovest thou me? You know, as Christians, we sometimes want to run around and tell about how much we love God, and we should, right? We should love God. But why was Jesus asking Peter, Peter, do you love me? Why was he asking that? As a matter of fact, in the original Greek language, Jesus asked him if he agapes him. The word agape means it's the strongest. The Greek language had several words for our English word love, all right? One was the greatest, the most intense, the all-consuming love, and it was the agape word. And Jesus uses that word in two in this questioning. And finally, Jesus asked one time, he said, Peter, do you phileo me? Do you even like me? Why was Jesus asking that? Do you think it's because, last few statements and then we'll give an invitation. Do you think it was because the outward behavior of Peter, stay with me, what Peter was doing, the outward behavior, the way he was conducting himself, the way he had gone back to his old life, that was not, that behavior was not in line with somebody that truly loves Jesus. So Jesus brought it into question, Peter, do you love me? Stay with me, because maybe the Lord Jesus, now God, Jesus is all-knowing, we know that, but understand, he's also human, and maybe Jesus is saying, Peter, when I look at your life, and I look at your behavior, it doesn't really show that you love me. That's a tragedy about being backslidden. You get backslidden away from God, your behavior doesn't show how much you love Jesus. So my encouragement, if you're here today and you know Christ your Savior and you're backsliding away from God, sweet friend, come back. Right there in the quietness of your heart and bow your heart and head to God right there in your pew. Acknowledge humbly before your God that you've drifted away from Him, you've wandered away from Him, and ask Him to forgive you and restore you. And He will. Stand with me, please, for an invitation. Brother Stephen's coming to lead us. There is so much more in this passage. There's more in it every time I preach it, not because of me, but just because God arrests me with some things. Peter, very arrogantly, Lord, yes, you know I love you. Peter, do you love me? Yes, God, you know I love you. Peter, do you even like me? And man, God got him. Your behavior shows that you don't even like me, Peter. Peter, do you even like me as a friend? Peter humbly bows and says, God, Jesus, thou knowest all things. Where are you at, believer? Are you backslidden? You say, preacher, it's not a big deal. Yes, it is. Do I have to remind you that Jesus changed your life? He forgave you of all your sins. He cleansed you from all unrighteousness. He loves you enough to die. He loved you enough to die for you. Did I have to remind you of that? You say, yeah, but preacher, I've been hurt. Listen, we all can perhaps say that. You know why? Listen, if you're around a Baptist church for any length of time, some of the meanest people I've ever met in my life are members of Baptist churches. Not this church. No, I'm serious about that. You don't think the devil tries to stop God's churches? Are you kidding me? And often what he does, he puts some cantankerous person in there. I start to say woman, men and women. He puts cantankerous, mean, wicked people in churches. And he does it to try to discourage and tries to get God's people's eyes off of him. Don't be surprised. You say, preach, there's hypocrites in churches. That's right, there are. Well, my preacher used to say, I'd rather go to church with a few hypocrites than die and go to hell with all of them. Amen? Don't let a hypocrite keep you from serving Jesus.
Will you come back? This altar's open. I don't know what God's done in your heart this morning, but if he speaks like he has often in my life, brother, he knows how to get my attention. I've been in services before when I wasn't right with God, and man, I'm telling you, it's as if I was the only person in the building and Jesus was speaking right at me. You think Peter felt that, Brother Bill? I think he felt it. The Bible says no one dared ask who Jesus was. They knew who he was. It was the resurrected Lord. And by the way, ladies and gentlemen, when you read in the book of Revelation, it's the resurrected Lord that is going in and amongst his churches and the seven churches of Asia Minor. So maybe, just maybe, Jesus showed up here today. And maybe, just maybe, he showed up to bring you back to him.
We hope you've been blessed by Pastor Tracy Harold's message today. If you would like more information about our church, you can log on to our website at www.embaptist.com.